Welcome to Earnestly Contending for the Faith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. The title of today's presentation is God's Seven Judgments. This entire study was built upon and expanded upon from an outline extracted from Pastor Robert Sargent's Landmarks of Baptist Doctrine, Book 4, pages 801 through 806. It is published by Bible Baptist Publication of Oak Harbor, Washington. This material makes outstanding Bible Institute material, and it also makes for very good Sunday school material. Now, when we start dealing with God's seven judgments, three of those judgments are in relation to believers, three of those are in relation to unbelievers, and one is in relation to the angels. The judgments that are done in relation to the believer include the past judgment of the sinner, the believer's sin at the cross, and then also the present judgment of the believer's sin, and then also the future judgment of the believer's works. Then in the three judgments of the unbelievers, we've got the judgment of God upon Israel, the judgment of God upon the Gentile nations, and the judgment of God upon the unbelieving dead, followed by the judgment of God upon the angels. One of the great truths of the Word of God is the coming judgment of God. As sure as death itself, judgment is coming. Hebrews 9, verse 27 puts it this way, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Again, that's Hebrews 9, verse 27. Many have a mistaken impression that the coming judgment of God is one big single judgment of all mankind, a time when eternal destinies will be settled. However, the Bible speaks of seven judgments, three related to Christians, one of unbelievers, one national judgment of Israel, one international judgment of all Gentile nations, and one judgment of angels. Now let's look at the judgment of God to define the judgment of God. It is a judgment of deeds and not individuals. The Bible does not teach the coming judgment is to be one of deciding who is saved and who is unsaved. According to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, God already knows who the believers are and who the unbelievers are. Instead, the coming judicial hearing is to set the punishment of individuals based upon their deeds. Chapter 4, verse 13, and Romans chapter 2, verses 5 and 6 describe this judgment as follows. Hebrews 4:13, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Romans chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds." Now the judgment of God is a judgment by God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that in Romans 14:12, which states this, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Romans chapter 2, verse 16 puts it this way, "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." Acts chapter 17, verse 31 states it this way, "Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." John chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 describe it this way, For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. John chapter 5, verse 27 states this way, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. That, folks, is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the coming judgment is a judgment without respect to persons. Romans 2:11 says this, for there is no respect of persons with God. And the coming judgment is also a judgment of absolute justice. John 5:30 describes it this way, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. That's John 5:30. We may not understand how God will judge the heathen who have never heard of Jesus Christ, as opposed to the religious man in a so-called Christian country, but we do know, according to John 5:30, that his judgment is just, and it will be according to what light a man has received. We see that in Luke 12:47-48, John 9:41, and in Romans 2:12-16. Incidentally, the heathen do have some light, and we see that if we go and read in Romans 1:18-20 there, but they do not have as much light as the religious man. And we see that light that's given to the religious man being misused by the Pharisees in Matthew 23, and the Lord Jesus Christ condemns that. Now, we're not going to go and read that, but we may pull a verse or two out of that extended passage of Scripture. But Luke 12:47-48 state this, and that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. That is Luke 12:47-48. John 9:41 puts it this way, Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. See the comparison there in that particular verse in John 9:41? They had light because they were not blind. And because they had that light, they were going to be judged more harshly than someone who didn't. Next up, we got Romans 2:12-16. Verse 12, for as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. That is Romans 2:12-16. Next we have Romans 1:18-20. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That is Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. While I quote Matthew 23 in its entirety in the context of the document that I'm working out of, here I'm only going to give you a brief synopsis of Matthew chapter 23. In Matthew 23, we have the judgment and condemnation of the very religious scribes and Pharisees by the righteous judge, the Lord Jesus Christ. Seven different times in the 39 verses of Matthew chapter 23, the Lord calls the scribes and Pharisees hypocrites. The scribes and Pharisees knew what the scriptures required, but were making a mock of the scriptures through their religious hypocrisy. The scribes and Pharisees had the attitude of, "Stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou." That is a quote, folks, out of Isaiah chapter 65, verse 5. Not only were the scribes and Pharisees not obeying the letter of the law, they were violating the spirit of the law. "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." James chapter 4, verse 17. Now in Matthew chapter 23, eight different times the Lord Jesus Christ pronounces woe upon the scribes and the Pharisees. They are judged and condemned for hindering the entrance of themselves and others into heaven. They're also judged and condemned for stealing widows' houses in the name of religion. They're judged for vain and repetitious prayers. They're judged for hypocritical tithing while setting aside the weightier matters of the law that include judgment, mercy, and faith. They're also judged for keeping their outsides under control while inwardly being consumed with extortion and excess. They're also judged for being squeaky clean on the outside and being full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness on the inside. And they're also judged for worshiping the tombs of dead men. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 15, the Lord Jesus Christ judges and condemns the scribes and Pharisees as being religious children of hell. Folks, religion will send you to hell. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, the Lord Jesus Christ states that the religious hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees will bring greater condemnation upon them than the deceived proselytes they bring into their soul-damning religion. Matthew chapter 23, verse 14, and Luke 47 and 48 establish the scriptural principle of degrees of punishment following that judgment. Matthew chapter 23, verses 14 states this: "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation." Verse 15, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more a child of hell than yourselves." That's what religion can do for you, folks. It can have you putting confidence in yourself, and you'll end up in hell because of it. Next up, the coming judgment is a judgment based upon the Word of God. Judgment will be based upon the very law that man has in his possession, not some unheard of set of rules to be produced on judgment day. Man has no excuse. Judgment will be according to the truth. Romans chapter 2, verse 2 states this: "But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. John chapter 12, verse 48 puts it this way, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him on the last day. Next up, we're going to talk about the judgment of the three judgments of God in relation to believers. Three of the seven judgments mentioned in the Word of God relate to Christians. These may be seen as past, present, and future judgments. Our primary concern is with the third of these, known as the judgment seat of Christ. Now, you got believers that have two different types of judgments that take place. One of those is at the judgment seat of Christ, that's for believers, and then the other is at the great white throne judgment, which is for unbelievers. Now, the past judgment of the believer's sin took place at the cross, folks. We're not going to have a lot to say about it, but it took place at the cross. This is the judgment Christ bore on the cross and deals with our justification. Because of this, there can be no further judgment upon a believer in relation to the sin question. A man can only be executed once. By accepting Christ as our Savior, we appropriate His death for ours. Next up, the present judgment of the believer's sin. This initially involves the believer's self-judgment. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 31 and 32. Failure to do this, this act of self-judgment, will result in the chastisement by the hand of God. Now, and we see that in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. Now, in we have this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 31 and 32, states what we've been describing here this way. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 31 through 32. Next, we're going to go and read Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. Verse 5, And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily, for a few days, chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. That's Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 11. God's chastisement, folks, is a safety measure designed to bring a wanderer back to the fold. And sometimes it may be very drastic. We have situations in the Bible where, for instance, the church at Corinth was ordered to turn over a sinning Christian because he wouldn't repent of his sin, to turn that Christian over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. And then in 1 John chapter 5, we have what is described as the sin unto death, and that is a sin that a Christian can commit. Now, it is not specifically identified as to what the sin is, but there is a sin that a Christian can commit and be taken out of this world. And then next up, we have got the third judgment of the believer, and that particular judgment deals with the believer's works. The time is coming when every child of God will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. It is a time of reward. We see that in Revelation 22:12, and also a time of loss. We see that in 2 John chapter 8. Revelation 22:12 states it this way, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." That's Revelation 22:12. 2 John chapter 8 says this, "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." That again is 2 John chapter 8. So that is a judgment for rewards, and also a place where Christians will lose reward also. Now, there are seven things we know about the future judgment of the believer, and they are as follows. These seven things about the judgment of the believer. The future judgment of Christians occurs after the rapture, before the revelation. The order of the three parables in Matthew chapter 25, along with a comparison of other scriptures, shows this to be the case. Firstly, in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13, we have the unannounced arrival of the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, to those who were watching for him. Secondly, we have the judgment of rewards for the servants of the bridegroom in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. Thirdly, in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46, we have the judgment of the nations based upon how the nations have treated Israel and the Jew. For the sake of time, we will not quote Matthew chapter 25 at this time. We encourage you to read the entirety of Matthew chapter 25, which in the document we based this particular study on, we included the entirety of Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 46. And by the way, folks, we encourage you to go and download the document on which each one of the audio recordings in this series are based upon. Because I know it's difficult for you to take notes if you're a person that does take notes. So that will help you there. And of course, that document is located at our website at earnestlycontendingforthefaith.com. The second item of the seven items about the future judgment of Christians applies to every Christian without that future judgment applies to every Christian without exception. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10 puts it this way, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that which according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Romans chapter 14 verse 10 states it this way, "But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." That is again Romans chapter 14 verse 10. Okay, this future judgment of Christians is a judgment related to service, not salvation. Let me repeat that. The future judgment of Christians is a judgment related to service, not salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 13 states this, "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." Again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. Okay, the future judgment of Christians is also a judgment of service within a New Testament church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 15 puts our service in a church context. verse 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If a man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Next up, the church is in that context of the future judgment being within a New Testament church. The church is God's building. And we see that in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, which we just got through reading. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. And then we also see in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, the following. Under the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Also, in the context of that New Testament church, the Lord Jesus Christ is God's foundation for the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 13, which we have just got through, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 15, which we have just got through reading, establishes the fact that that foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. And also within in the context of that New Testament church, God's co-workers are church members. We've seen that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. Also, God's work is building up the church. That is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. Next up, the future judgment of Christians is a judgment which tests the believer's service. There are two possibilities related to that: lasting service and worthless service. And we see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. And we also see that everything is tested. Fire, folks, typifies judgment in the Word of God. The Bible says that our God is a consuming fire. Now, the future judgment of Christians is also a judgment which dispenses rewards. We've already talked about that and mentioned that several times now. The Bible calls these rewards crowns, and that's what we're going to deal with next. And there are five of those that are mentioned in the New Testament. Those are the crown of life, and we see that described in James chapter 1, verse 12, which states this: Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And we also see that same thing in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, where we read this: Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. That's Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Now, this crown is for the faithful Christian, one who remains true despite difficult circumstances, and that include persecution and many times even death, as we saw in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. So that is the crown of life. Next up, we've got the crown of victory. We see that crown described in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. Now, this is also known as the incorruptible crown. The crown of victory is also known as the incorruptible crown, and it's for the Christian who lives victoriously. Next up, we have the crown of glory, which is described in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. The Bible says this in verse 1, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." This particular crown, folks, is reserved for faithful pastors. Next up, we have the crown of righteousness. We see that one described in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, where it says the following, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." That's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. And this crown is a crown for those who love, thus look for, and live in light of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, we have the crown of rejoicing. We see that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19, where the Bible states this, "For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" So this particular crown is sometimes referred to as the soul winner's crown. These rewards, all five of the ones that we've just got through talking about, the crown of life, the crown of victory, the crown of glory, the crown of righteousness, and the crown of rejoicing, will be cast at the foot of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation 4, verse 10, we see this, "The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne," and then they proceed to praise the Lord Jesus Christ there in Revelation chapter 4, verse 10. And next up, we're still talking about the future judgment of Christians. Undeserving Christians will not lose their salvation. I want to repeat that. Undeserving Christians will not lose their salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15 states it this way, "If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Now, and to that we can add a however. However, Matthew chapter 19, verse 28, Matthew 25, verses 21 through 23, and Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, teach that there will be governmental positions given to faithful servants during Christ's millennial reign upon the earth, something that the unfaithful will not enjoy. And the Bible describes those as follows. Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. "And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Next up, we've got Matthew chapter 25, verses 21 through 23. "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, Thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. That's Matthew chapter 25, verses 21 through 23. Next up, we've got Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And that is Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. Is going to complete our study for today. In our next presentation, we're going to talk about the judgment of God in relation to unbelievers and also to angels. I want to thank you for joining us today.